Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Prabhupada. Reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Volume 2, Chapter 4. Text 159. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ato na bimba pratibimba bedato vichitrata sa salade ravirva kintveshakasto dvayeva sarvata Svasva Pradeshe Bahudekshite Yata. Translation. Therefore, this variety does not arise from the difference between an object and its reflected image, as with the sun reflected in water. Rather, the Lord's forms are like the one sun standing undivided in the sky, seen everywhere, but in different ways, in different places. Commentary. The variety of the Supreme Lord's appearances cannot be understood by the logic of an object and its reflection, because every one of the Lord's forms is eternal and real. In the object reflection model, the only object that would be eternal and real would be the original, the avatari, the form of the Lord from which all his other forms expand. All the other forms of the Lord would be temporary and unreal, like mere reflections. In effect, the expanded personal forms of the Lord would be products of illusion. The theory of expanding by reflection, therefore, is untenable. The Supreme Person in all his forms is the same original object, complete in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The sun may be reflected in various bodies of water, or any object may be reflected in several mirrors. The one, then, appears to be many because of its images in various places. But the variety among the Supreme Lord's forms is not like that. For the variety shown by the Lord, the more fitting analogy cited here is that of one object, the sun, being viewed differently by people in different places. Each person, from where he stands, sees the sun appearing differently against the backdrop of nearby objects, trees, hills, and so on. Similarly, the diverse worshippers of the Supreme Lord see him with different forms, complexions, and qualities according to their individual ecstatic moods. One devotee sees the Lord as a brilliant sphere of light, another as having four arms and a red complexion, and yet another as having two arms holding a pair of lotus flowers. None of these different visions are illusory, because they are perceived by pure devotees whom the Lord has no reason to deceive. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Hukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Harshi Vasari Gauravaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is a continuation of several verses, and it will continue for many more verses, which we've already begun to explain, and that is how the Lord manifests unlimited forms in unlimited places. Each one of those forms is Satchitananda Vigraha, is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And each one of these forms should never be mistaken as a temporary, illusory form, the word that was used in the last commentary was ad hoc. And we spoke a little about that. An ad hoc form is a form which was temporarily adopted to fulfill a particular purpose, and then when its purpose is fulfilled, it no longer exists. And in these discussions that Narada Muni is presenting to Gopakumar, he's emphasizing this point to him in many different verses, how you can serve the Lord in this form here, and the Lord, even though he's in a form here, wherever you may be, if you serve him in a particular mood or attitude and please him, then all other forms are pleased. Even the original form, Krishna. And we spoke a little bit about how Krishna is the Swayamrupa, that form of the Lord, which is not dependent upon any other forms. And we also spoke about the other forms spoken in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, about the Tadikatma Rupa form, the Svanksa forms, the Avesha forms, who are the empowered living entities, and then the Prakash forms. And these Prakash forms are forms which are going to be discussed in several verses. And I wanted to move along because, as I said, many of these verses are reinforcing the same point that Narada Muni which is trying to make to Gopakumar. Never think that these forms are temporary or illusory. And here in today's verse, the example which Narada Muni is using is that, I think in the verse it's, yes, bimba pratibimba. Bimba means of an image Pratibimba and its reflection. The example that is given is that of like the sun, that we should not think that just as the sun is in the sky and then it's reflected in many different bodies of water, we should not think that that is the analogy which can be used to understand these different expanded forms of the Lord. And a better analogy, which is given by Narada Muni and which is explained in the commentary, a better analogy is just like there's one sun, and that one sun is seen by unlimited observers in unlimited different places. And all this, the one sun, the observation differs according to the place of the observer. And the example is given that each person from where he stands sees the sun appearing differently against the backdrop of nearby objects, trees, hills, and so on. That is, of course, in a rural setting. Somebody in the city can be standing there in a very busy city like Moscow or in Manhattan and see the sun against the backdrop of tall skyscraper buildings. Somebody can be in another place, in a rural community, and see the village settings. Somebody could be along the ocean and seeing on the distance in the ocean and the horizon and the sun on the horizon. And according to the particular place where that person is, then the sun appears differently according to the location, the backdrop. This is something actually that we spoke about a little bit. I'm not going to get into it in too much detail today, but it just simply brings to light a very, very important point that is our theme of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that although it's the same Supreme Lord everywhere, and one can please the Supreme Lord wherever he is, still, wherever one is, the Lord is manifesting himself according to the mood of those who are worshiping him. And as I try to answer one question that was raised in the last class by a devotee who didn't ask the question but apparently seemed very bewildered by this this concept that if the Lord reciprocates wherever one is, then why is there a need to go someplace else? That question is a valid question, of course, there is a very good answer, which again is the essence of the theme of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that because although the Lord may fully reciprocate with the devotee wherever they may be, the devotee is also very much in a mood of service with those who are of a similar or like-minded mentalities. Therefore, what Gopa Kumar has experienced in Vaikuntha is that, yes, the Lord is there and the Lord has showed him this form, but yet everybody else doesn't seem to be in sync with his mood. And the Lord apparently is displaying moods for them those in a different way. And Gopa Kumar is, as we've always indicated, wavering between these different features of the Lord that he's displaying to his devotees. And a very, very important aspect of the place, which is the emphasis which has been made all along, is it's there is a special, unique place, because it's in that special, unique place you are always surrounded by devotees who have the similar, special, unique moods. And there's something to be said to be always surrounded by devotees who have special, unique moods. And the point we discussed last time also is that is the unique feature that is there with how Krishna displays himself in Goloka, and he doesn't display himself in that way in any other place. And that is Lila Madhurya, the beautiful pastimes, and then of course Prema Madhurya. He's always surrounded by, by devotees who are manifesting this ecstatic prema. And Venu Madhurya, Krishna's playing his flute. And Rupa Madhurya, the beauty of his body, which is very much attracted specifically to those devotees who are always surrounding him. It's a unique beauty which surpasses any other form. And the Lord, of course, in Goloka, he displays these four unique qualities which are not displayed anywhere else. And Prema Madhurya especially means that he's always surrounded by devotees. And therefore we heard throughout this journey, which we've discussed so far, especially in Vaikuntha, and we've talked about also in Ayodhya, and we've also talked a little bit about Dwarka. What we've talked about is that it's not just the Lord, but it's his entourage, those who are with him. And when those who are with him have a very prominent mood that doesn't quite sync with Gopa Kumar's mood, then obviously Gopa Kumar is really... needs to be in the best place, which is most suitable for his mood, which means it's not just the Lord, but also those who he's with. And we read on Wednesday, we read a few verses which described what happened to Gopa Kumara when he saw Krishna. We talked about seeing Krishna for the first time in Goloka. We went through that whole scenario. We've discussed it before. I'm not going to describe it again. And then when he went back with the cowherd boys and had lunch with Krishna, and then after lunch, it specifically said, Sridham, he took Gopa Kumara. And Gopa Kumara was resisting. He didn't want to go, but Sridham took him, and he goes with all the other like-minded cowherd boys who leave at that particular time. They feel intense separation, obviously, just as the birds flying overhead were feeling the intense separation when Krishna was going into Vraj, and just as the calves and the cows, you know, when they were, everybody feels intense separation for periods of time, the way time is manifest in Goloka, and the same way Gopakumar was taken by Sridham and said, okay, let's go. And then what Gopakumar says is that because something is going to happen tonight about which I can't explain. Finally, Sridham convinced me to go. And then there was another verse which very nicely described the mood of the devotees who are with like-minded devotees together, and we spoke a little bit about that on Wednesday. But we talked about the different friends Krishna has, and there are different moods of friends. There's, you know, the Priyanama Sakas, and there's Suhit, and there's so many different types of moods amongst his friends, and generally they're together in different groups, and they discuss and talk about Krishna. Same with the gopis. There's, you know, the Priya Nitya Sakis, and the Prana Sakis, and there's different gopis with different moods, and they also feel separation, and they gather in different groups. They have their group leaders. The gopis have their Yukteswaris. The gopas have their Yukteswaras. Sridham and Sudham, they're actually their group leaders, and they have their cowherd boys with them of the same mentality. Everyone's together in their different groups, and there's a certain relish that they have remembering the Lord as their friend, remembering the Lord as their lover, and what to speak of serving together in their different moods. And somehow that's not there for Gopakumar and Vaikuntha. Simply to see the Lord manifest in that form, but not to experience the reciprocation he expects to have from the Lord, and what to speak of to have the relationships, friendly relationships with those who seem to have a different mood of service. It's all part of the package of where. And therefore, this comes up again and again and again, this theme, where. And we should hopefully, by now, and hopefully when it manifests again in the future, we should hopefully be able to see it from this proper frame of reference, that where is very relevant. And that is why whenever we talk about where, and that's why whenever Sanatana Goswami speaks about where, and that's why Narada Muni in this conversation right now to Gopakumar is emphasizing where, the word unique, special, place, is repeated again and again and again to indicate for us that, and for Gopakumar, or should I say, no, for the Mathura Brahmin, because that's who's Gopakumar is speaking to. Gopakumar is speaking to the Mathura Brahmin, and he's simply telling the Mathura Brahmin what Narada Muni told him about this special, unique place, and which is not going to happen here in Vaikuntha for you. And you're going to have to earn your right to qualification to go to this special, unique place. So, although again and again in this particular section, we're hearing how the Lord manifests unlimited forms according to the moods of those devotees and the places where those devotees worship him, we should understand that this is a repetitive concept which will continue to manifest itself until we actually see Gopa Kumara where he belongs. And when we see Gopa Kumara where he belongs, then we'll also be able to see that Gopa Kumara wants to bring the mature Brahman to that place where he belongs. And having heard this whole narration, the mature Brahman then understands, yes, that's where I want to go. That's where I belong. Therefore, such a wonderful reception is waiting him in that unique, special place. So, in the verse we read today, is simply an argument that's being used to help us understand that it is the one Supreme Lord, same Supreme Lord, manifest in every place according to the mood, every place according to the moods of those who worship him. And we even read in the last verse why we could not accept that this could not be a temporary, illusory, provisional form, because if it were to be so, then as we read, these appearances of the Lord, although apparently ad hoc, are in fact eternal, real, and all-pervading. By displaying his pastime incarnations, the Supreme Lord fulfills the hankerings in the hearts of all pure devotees. Were he to fail to do so, his most significant glory, unlimited kindness to his surrendered servants, would be lost. And with today's verse, we also read a repeat of the same concept. None of these different visions are illusory because they are perceived by pure devotees whom the Lord has no reason to deceive. So, each and every form is eternal. Each and every form has his own abode. Each and every form has his own entourage. Each and every form has his own pastimes. Everything eternal. Sat Chit Ananda. Next verse is going to be another explanation of the same. I will read it, but it's a different analogy. This analogy, the first one we read, is like the sun. The theory of bimba pratibimba, which is the theory of reflection, and therefore it's been disproved that we cannot accept the theory of reflection in this case, because reflection is simply an image that's there, but it's not a permanent image. And even the Mayavadis use this theory of reflection to this, it's called bimba pratibimba vad, they used this theory of reflection as an argument to defend themselves, that when the reflection is simply restricted by the pot, but when the pot doesn't, then everything merges into the oneness, and therefore ultimately this form that we see in the pot simply merges into the oneness, and is called Bimba Pratibimbavad. And therefore they tried to equate that the living entities and the Supreme are non-different. They are non-different, but they are also different. As we know, it's a chincha beta beta, inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. And although the Mayavadis and impersonalists, they always place the emphasis on the oneness, and they fail to recognize the difference, the devotees always understand that in all of these explanations, that the difference also has to be understood. So this is one type of philosophy. It's called Bimba Pratibimbavad. It's a reflection. And therefore, this is being refuted here in this today's verse and commentary. No, it is not a temporary form, which is just simply manifest because of its reflection in a pot. So, next verse, text 160. Yataiva cha pritagyanam sukham cha pritagevahi tatapi brahma tadatme tayor aikyam susidyati. The Lord's various forms are one. Just as knowledge and happiness, though separate entities, are one because they are both aspects of the same absolute truth. Commentary. Anyone can understand from experience that since knowledge is the cause of happiness, happiness and knowledge are two separate entities. This difference is real, not illusory, because both knowledge and happiness are distinct and real aspects of Brahman, the absolute truth. This is another description that knowledge, complete, our knowledge brings happiness, the happiness of, you know, Brahman realization. And with, therefore, there's a distinct difference between knowledge and happiness. The difference is real, not illusory, because both knowledge and happiness are distinct and real aspects of Brahman, the absolute truth. But then again, due to the very fact that knowledge and happiness belong to the essential nature of the absolute, the two are really one. And this simply reconfirms the same point that I just made, that the impersonalists, they always try to place the emphasis on the oneness, and yet the proper understanding is to see also the difference and the oneness. Both simultaneous and inconceivably one and different. So, according to the Tattariya and other Upanishads, Brahman's identity is knowledge and also happiness. And since Brahman is always one, non-dual, its aspects of knowledge and happiness are also essentially one. Demonstrably, knowledge and happiness are one and different and real, because the absolute truth is himself both one and many, and he is real in the variety he exhibits. All same point. Thus we read in the Varaha Purana, now many verses will be quoted to substantiate this. This is from the Varaha Purana. Natasya prakrito murtir mangsa medosti sambhava na yogatvad ishratvat satya rupo chito vibhu. The Supreme has no material form made of flesh, marrow, and bones. He has his form not by virtue of practicing yoga, but because he is the absolute Lord, personal form of the infallible, all-powerful Lord is real. Interesting. Prabhupada, oftentimes, in fact, just today, in class, during lunch, Prabhupada was specifically emphasized. He was talking about how the physical body, and you know how Prabhupada can get graphic sometimes. And he said, we should never think that the Supreme Lord has a body of mucus, pus, bile, stool, skin, flesh, bones. There's all these, every one of these features Prabhupada was speaking about today in class. And he makes the, also, Prabhupada oftentimes makes the point, although he didn't in today's class, but he has his form not by virtue of practicing yoga, but because he is the absolute Lord. And Prabhupada oftentimes also makes this argument that the Lord doesn't have to perform yoga to become the Lord. And he is always the Supreme Lord. And the fundamental difference between the living entities and the Supreme Lord is that the Supreme Lord is always the Supreme Lord. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. Prabhupada must quote this verse numerous times. That Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Controller, and all other living entities are subordinate to him. And therefore the subordinate living entities, they perform yoga. Of course, they think, some foolishly think, they perform yoga to become one with the Lord. But the devotee knows that he performs yoga to become one in desire, that in service to the Lord. So here, he has his form not by virtue of practicing yoga, but because he is the absolute Lord, the personal form of the infallible, all-powerful Lord is real. Another Purana, the Mahavaraha Purana, also states, Sarve Nitya Shashvatascha Dehastasya Paratmana Hano Padhana Rahita Naiva Prakriti Ja Kvachit. All the bodies of the Supreme Soul are eternal and unchanging. They never undergo loss or gain, and they are never creations of material nature. Paramananda Sandoha Jnana Matrascha Saravata Sarve Sarva Gunai Purna Sarva Dosha Vivarjitaha. In all conditions, they are full of the greatest intense bliss and pure consciousness, endowed with all auspicious qualities and devoid of all faults. All these verses are just same commentary. These are not verses of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Sanatana Goswami's references that he's given from various shastras to substantiate the point how the Lord's form is always eternal, every form. Another quote, Anyuna Nadikaschaiva Gunai Sarvaish Chasaravata Dehi Deha Bhidar Chatra Neshvare Vijate Kvachit. The bodies of the Supreme are all free from defects, unsurpassed in excellence, and full in all transcendental qualities. Thus, the Supreme Controller's body and soul are never different from one another. Tat svikaradi sabdastu hasta svikaratvat smita vailakshanyan navatatra jnana matratan iritam. When scripture records that he accepts bodies and maintains them and gives them up, those arrangements are to be understood as casual and external, just like accepting someone's hand in friendship. Saying that he is different from everyone else does not mean that he is nothing but pure consciousness. Kevala Ishvaraya Samyogad Ishvara Prakrite Para Jato Gatas Tvidam Rupam Tad Ityadi Vyavastiti. By consorting with his exclusive potencies, the Supreme Lord transcends material nature, assumes forms like this one, and in various other ways maintains his unique status. I'm not going to comment on all of these verses. I'm going to read the next verse. This is text 161 and 162. Evam vichitra deshesu svapna davyapyanekada drishyamanasya krishnasya parshadanan padasya cha ekatvam apyanekatvam satyatvam cha susangatam ekasmin stoshite rupe saravam tattasya tushyati. Thus, although Krishna, his associates, and his abode are seen in various forms, in different places, and in dreams, and in other special states of consciousness, they are with perfect consistency, one, although many, and they are always real. When any one of his forms is satisfied, so too are all his others. Commentary. If one worships Krishna in any of his forms, whether they reside in Vaikuntha or in any other of his abodes, one satisfies all his expansions. All the devotees of the Lord's plenary expansions, therefore, have great fondness and regard for one another. So, we mentioned previously, and it's coming up soon. In fact, it'll be in our next class, which is Narada Muni is explaining to Gopakumara about Brahma's realizations upon seeing the different forms of Vishnu, which were manifest before him in the Brahma Vamohana Leela, how he recognized each one to be Krishna himself, and each one to be worshipped, and not only each one Krishna himself, but each one along with the different elements of the universe and along of the different universes with in which each of them were manifest, and all the Brahmas, which were also present there, all manifest. And this is going to be discussed in the text 164, that as well as how Krishna was one and manifested simultaneously in all the different palaces in Dwarka, and how each queen in Dwarka was thinking she was alone with Krishna, she was giving Krishna his lunch, serving Krishna's lunch first, and Krishna was there in each and every one of these forms. And the point that is going to be brought out is we should not think that these are reflections, that they were simply like the different yogis. They can actually manifest different forms by reflection, and each of the forms are doing the same thing, but each form was doing something different at a different time of the day, reciprocating with that particular queen. And then when it came time to go to the Sudama assembly house, each form left and then entered. They all became one, and Krishna in one form entered into the Sudama assembly house. And yet each form, this is all going to be discussed in text 164. And again, which is more discussion of this point, that never is any of these forms illusory. Excuse me, my computer is acting up. What's going on? So that his associates, although Krishna, his associates and his abode are seen in various forms, in different places, and in dreams. Of course, when we speak about dreams, we should be careful not to impose our dreams. And, of course, I've given once before a story that Prabhupada told about how we have to be careful about dreams. And it was a discussion with one devotee. Well, one devotee was speaking to Srila Prabhupada saying, Prabhupada, I've learned so much from you in my dreams. You've come to me in your dreams. And Prabhupada was kind of trying to dismiss it, saying that, yes, dreams come, but they're not so important. But the devotee was trying still to get Prabhupada to tell him that he was coming to him in his dreams. And Prabhupada's response when he saw the devotees wasn't very persistent, but he was bringing up the point again in a different way. And Prabhupada used the example that if I come to you in a dream and give you 100 rupees, and if I hand you 5 rupees, which would you take? And the devotee, of course, Prabhupada was using that example to emphasize the point that more important is what you may be thinking is what I've told you or instructed you in a dream, is what I'm actually speaking to you right now. Are you listening to me? And that's how Prabhupada dealt with this particular devotee. He was trying to, again, put Prabhupada's prominence in the dream and minimize Prabhupada's presence, who was sitting directly before him, by emphasizing that the dream is so nice. And then Prabhupada, of course, explained that we should take advantage to receive such instructions, and we should be careful to not invest everything in what we may perceive as reality in our dreams. On the other hand, sometimes very advanced, enlightened souls, they may experience something very wonderful, and we also may experience something very wonderful in a dream that inspires us. And we should try to understand that if the inspiration that comes in the dream gives us an impetus for further surrender, then we can accept it as favorable. But if we simply try to extrapolate something else from the dream, which somehow minimizes surrender, then we should be very, very careful how we interpret our dreams. And therefore, that is why, again, I believe in this particular instance with Srila Prabhupada, he was trying to, again, not completely delegitimize a dream, but to make it devotee understand that when you have the opportunity to get something in a very confirmed way, which helps you to understand that, yes, it is valid, go ahead, surrender. You know, see it as something that will help you to surrender. And then, yes, it's possible. It's possible. And sometimes very advanced devotees, Krishna and Prabhupada, may appear to them in a dream. Just like Prabhupada, we have that story of Prabhupada, who twice he went to Sridhar Maharaj in the middle of the night. Why did he go to Sridhar Maharaj in the middle of the night? Prabhupada was still a householder, but in the middle of the night, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who had already departed, appeared to Srila Prabhupada in the dream and told Srila Prabhupada, I want you to take sannyas. Prabhupada took it, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, telling him that this is my Guru Maharaj coming to me, and he wants me to surrender to his mission. Because at that time, Prabhupada was also wanting very much to give more of himself to the instructions which were given to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course, externally, we observed, we didn't personally observe, we weren't there, but we observed by reading the Prabhupada Lilamrita, how Prabhupada was confronting many obstacles in his family life. And he was, yet his meditation, his absorption, his desire was undoubtedly to give everything to the service of the order that was given to him. So he took that as a confirmation. So he went and he was knocking on the door. And it's described in the, I can't remember the name of the book, but it's a very nice description. It was Mula Prakriti's book. She was giving an account of what she was told from B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, who explained how Prabhupada came to him twice. And the first time Prabhupada came to him, when Bhaktisiddhanta Bhaktisaraswati Thakur manifested to him in a dream, then B.R. Sridhar Maharaj was a little bit reticent about giving him sannyas because he had a relationship with the family. So he was a little bit reticent about it, and therefore he tried to, you know, to calm down Srila Prabhupada that maybe now is not the time, and then Prabhupada then returned, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to him again in another dream, and again instructed him. He wanted him to take sannyas. And again, in the middle of the night, he went knocking on the door, begging, please, Guru Maharaj, just come to me. You are a very dear servant. Please, you accept me, give me sannyas. And Vyashuddha Maharaj said, well, there's different stages of sannyas. There's bahudak, and then there's other gradual stages where you gradually can leave your family. And he recommended that to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada again left. Then, as we know, Prabhupada, because of his determination to fulfill this desire, he ended up taking sannyas from Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj. That's another whole other story. But so, although on the one hand, Prabhupada spoke in a dismissive way about placing too much credibility in dreams, on the other hand, we see how Prabhupada, after the departure of his spiritual master, was very much inspired and influenced by a dream in which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to him twice, requesting him to take sannyas. So, different perspective on the same point, and therefore, again, emphasis should be there that yes, in a suitably advanced devotee, that sometimes the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord may manifest in such a way to inspire an activity which helps one increase his mood of surrender. That should always be accepted in a favorable way. And if we use that and understand our dreams in that way, then yes, thus, although Krishna, his associates, and his abode are seen in various forms, in different places, and in dreams, and in other special states of consciousness, they are with perfect consistency, one although many. And they are always real. Even Krishna has dreams, as we read about. Krishna is also dreaming of different devotees, and he's meditating in his dreams. And he even apologized to Mother Jasoda for coming before Mother Jasoda and saying, I slept a little bit late this morning because I was having a dream. And even the associates of the Lord, they have dreams. Krishna appears to them in their dreams. The intimate associates of the Lord. They're real. And that's the point that's to be made here. They are with perfect consistency, one although many, and they are always real. When any one of his forms is satisfied, so too are all his others. In fact, I'll end on this point. It's going to come much later in this chapter. In the same conversation with Narada Muni, Gopakumar is going to ask him about the worship of Jagannath. Because now after this whole explanation how the Lord is real and he's fully manifest in all of his forms, Gopakumar is going to ask him about the worship of the deities. And he's going to say that means you're saying that when we worship the deity, and in particular, he was thinking of the form of Lord Jagannath, that means the Lord is personally there. And Narada Muni is going to give a very detailed explanation about different worshipers. He's going to explain, yes, for those who worship in the right consciousness, he is there. And those who don't worship in the right consciousness, then although he's there, they will not derive the benefit of their worship because they're not in the right consciousness. And he's going to distinguish between proper worshipers who see the Lord as non-different from the deity form and those who don't see. He's going to speak about the Lord being non-different and also how the devotees of the Lord, because the real understanding, and one of the sometimes what is lacking in those who see Krishna only in the form of the deity, is that they're incomplete in their worship because they see Krishna only in the deity, but they don't see him in the hearts of all living entities. And therefore, their worship is considered to be on a lesser level than those who see Krishna in the deity, but also see him manifest in the heart of all living beings. Anyways, Narada Muni is going to explain these details later to Gopakumar in their conversation about how Krishna is manifested and pleased in any one of these forms. Therefore, if we please the deity, if the deity is pleased by our service, we should not in any way consider it to be anything less than pleasing Krishna if we understand the deity and Krishna is non-different. And if we worship in that mood, we get the same benefit of pleasing the Lord. This also is going to be brought out by Narada Muni to Gopakumar in a later part of this discussion. But it is many verses ahead. They're having sidebar discussion on the side. It's a long talk. And many details will be revealed in the course of this discussion. We will end here. Next verse is text 163. We can chant some japa. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Jai devotees, so we will end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and class will be tomorrow morning for the Russian-speaking devotees at 10 o'clock India time. And on Monday, it will be the same time for North American devotees. And I was thinking of so many different examples of dreams, devotees, of how the Lord appeared to them in dreams, especially from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jagadananda Pandit, and also Murari Gupta, and many others, many others. Anyways, well, maybe we'll speak about them on Monday. Maybe we'll just move on. So let's end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.